Today we're going to discuss three different questions relating to cutting or shooting an animal after Shechita. And the first we're going to speak about is cutting, and that is in order to help bleed out the animal, and sometimes to help the pirchus end, or to start the, removing the hide, or even sometimes there's just a shechit who wants to get indebted to see what he did a proper Shechita, an extra cut is made in the animal's neck after the Shechita is over. Again, usually it's made by the people in the clan, but sometimes even the sheikh himself. And the question we need to think about is that what happens if the sheikh, shechted the whole kana and part of the veshet, and there's a little bit of veshet left over. So should we say that now when we cut further, and we cut the rest of the veshet, the last little bits of the veshet, and that second cutting, is that considered a shehiyah? Because basically, can we connect the first cutting with the second cutting to say that there has now been a break in the middle of the Shechita? The Shechita did the first part of the Shechita, then there was a break, and then there was a second cut. If we view that as one, both of those as part of the Shechita, then the pause in the middle would be a Shehiyah for Miyat Basra, or a Shehiyah that would, according to Ashkenazim, would make the Shechita puzzle. That's the question. Now, before we continue on with the question and the other ones we're going to speak about, is all of what that we're going to discuss assumes that what's going on happens while the animal is still alive. Were the animal to be dead by the time this cutting or the other things we're going to speak about happen, then there's nothing to talk about. Okay, then it's partial that you're allowed to do any of those things. Simcha Chadasha mentions that if you want to see it inside, he says, then whatever he has to talk about. But once you know that the animal is dead, which is not always so easy to tell, but once the animal is definitely dead, then none of these questions are going to apply. We'll see how that actually plays into some of the things we have to say, but that's just like an introductory point. So here we are, we have a question is making a second cut after the sheikh had finished what he considered to be the shechita, is that potentially connected to the first cut, which would mean that there was now a shehiyah in between the first and the second cut. So the Shach brings that the Bach says that it's okay if a goy does that second cut. It's not connected. That's not considered connected to the shechita. The Shach himself says that you should be machmor on that. You shouldn't let a goy do it. But the Prima Gadol says is that the din is really like the Bach, that if a goy does the second cutting, it's okay. It's okay for the goy to do that second cutting. That's not matzar to the shechita. Now there is a Simcha Chadasha who says you know, if you let the goy do it, then people will think that a yid could do it also. And that's like sort of like there's only zero. Then you shouldn't do that. But most people assume, like the Prima Gadol, that if the goy does it, that's not connected at all to the first shechita itself, and therefore the shechita is over, but the fact that the rest of the veshet was cut afterwards is not a concern, and it's not connected to the shechita, and therefore there's no shehiyah, there's been no pause in the middle of the shechita. Okay, so that's okay if a goy does. Now, it so happens that there's no Yehuda about this. This is a little bit of a side point. The Yehuda says that this whole thing is based on the Gemara. The Gemara is misupik about whether this is considered shehir or not, meaning is it mitzur for us or not mitzur. The Gemara leaves off as a teku, so we're memachmen. And the Yehuda says that shiloh of the Gemara is talking about when a simon was cut most of the way. Like in the example I gave you, the kana was cut completely, the veshet was cut most of the way. So the shiloh is like this. The din says, Ruba Tegulai, now the whole veshet is considered cut. So from that perspective, there's no more veshet anymore. And what you're cutting is like cutting a piece of meat, just cutting an animal's arm or leg. It's not really considered cutting. Or should we say, no, the mice says, there's a piece of veshet still here, so the cutting of that piece is considered to be a shehiyah, a continuation of the shechita, in which case the space, the pause in between is a shehiyah. So maybe he says, that's the more suffic, and that's what Machmer about. But he says, what would happen if this was a bird, not an animal? And it was a bird where you cut the whole kana, and you didn't touch the veshet. So the shechita, at the end of this question, you did one simon is enough. And now someone comes and cuts the veshet. He says, so for sure, the veshet was not cut at all. It's not like in the case before, we were roiv of the simon was cut, and it's just that we say ruba kakula, we say that, you know, basically it didn't consider cut. There's nothing wrong with cutting the rest of it. He says, so in that case, which was the case he's dealing with, which was the bird had its veshet, the veshet had not been cut at all, and then someone came and shechted it. He says, there's a portion that case is considered a shehiyah if he does. Okay, back to what we're talking about. So we said is a goy is not allowed to do it. A goy is allowed to do the cutting, allowed to do the second cutting, but a yid is not allowed to. So the Chassam Sofer says that this din, that the yid now do the cut, doesn't only apply if the yid cuts it in a formal way with a chalif, like he's trying to do a shechita. That's not the only thing. He says even if the yid would use a knife that doesn't, it's not kosher for shechita. He says even if he uses an axe, okay, now an axe, of course, in our minds we think of axes as being used for chopping. He says a chopping, of course, is not kosher for shechita. You have to slice. You can't chop. That's a drasa to chop the neck. But he says l'maisa. An axe is something that's kosher for shechita. It brings raya that you could theoretically, you could actually shecht with an axe. You have to do it differently. You have to slice instead of chopping. But an axe is kosher for shechita, and therefore, if a person cut with that, that's considered a continuation of the original shechita and would be a shehiya. Of course, if you did it with an axe, it would also be a trust. Also, maybe possible. But for his purposes, his point is that it's a shehiya, which is what we were focusing on. He says, but what happens if the person were to cut the end of the simen with a scissors? He says, in Svara, that should be okay. Why? He says, because a scissors is not a tool that could be used for shechita. And he gives two reasons why. It appears to me that it's two reasons why you can't use a scissor for shechita. The first is, shechita happens with a single blade. It's the power of one blade cutting that's considered to be shechita or chaticha, cutting. As opposed to a scissor, it uses two blades. It's the action of one blade pushing, you know, against with the other with the item in between. That's what the sandwich in between that causes the cutting. He says that's considered geziza. That's not shechita. So what the act that you did. So a scissor is not fit for shechita because a scissor doesn't do shechita, doesn't do chaticha, doesn't cut. It does geziz, which is two blades. And the second thing he says is that if a person were a scissor is not kosher for shechita because scissors are built in chalada, which is to say is that when a person, if you use a scissors to cut the simanim, one blade of the scissors would be above the simanim, would be on the outside, and the other one would have to burrow into the neck to get underneath the simanim so you can then snip them off. Well, burrowing under is a chalada because the blade, that part of the blade would be covered over by the flesh of the animal or the bird. And therefore, a scissors is inherently not fit for shechita because it would be an automatic chalada if it were to be used. So he says, for these two reasons, in Svara, it should be that if a person cut the last thing with a scissors, it should be okay, and it only would be also if he used a knife or even an axe. He said, but this is a Svara that I'm not 100% sure on. He's making a chiluk. He brings riots that using an axe for the end is not okay. He says, so to be mechalak and say scissors is better. He says it's not so partial. He says, therefore, chalila lismach gamazet, for sure you should not be sending what I just said. I'm not so convinced you can be mechalik between the scissors and the other things in this way. And it's something that I'll try. So here we're talking about if the person did shehiya, then it would be a son of deraisa. In the case that he's talking about where it's an extra, with the extra simen, because it was a simen of a bird, okay, so then it's a two series of a child, you should not be sent even for a scissors. Okay, so the long and short is that what we came out is that when we're making the second cut, if a guy wants to do that, and the sheikh finish what he has to do, and then one of the guys in the plant wants to do it, that's fine. He can make the second cut for their reasons, but a yid should not be doing it no matter whatever kind of tool, etc. that he's using. Yid should not be doing that cut. Okay, so now we move on to a second question. That is about a captive bolt. And that is, in the late 1800s, the German government wanted to make a law that shechita should, one of the many laws to try to outlaw shechita. And they said is, you have to, after the shechita is done, you have to hit the animal on the head in order to make it not have any more feeling anymore. A lot of the laws against shechita are come from the perspective of animal rights and hurting animals through shechita, even though, of course, many have shown that it's a very painless, a relatively painless way for an animal to die. And there are always undertones of anti-Semitism or questions of that maybe these laws are have a core are not really for animal rights, but really anti-Semitism. And what was going on in Germany, we don't really know, but. So the question was, they should hit the animal on the head after shechita, and somebody named Tzvi Hirsch Plato, who was the son of Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, wrote a sefer called Havlos Adam, a very long sefer, explaining he and dozens of rabbanim who signed on with him held that you were not allowed to do this. Okay, they were not allowed to do hitting the animal on the head after shechita, And that is all quite a long sefer about. And what we're going to speak about is the tshuva in Igros Moshe about a very similar question. Where Moshe speaks about, again, he says that the shayla was, can we hit the animal 30 seconds after shechita? Is it okay to hit the animal over the head? Now, it doesn't say why they would hit the animal, nor does he say how they would, so to speak, hit the animal. The feeling you get from the way he describes it is that he's talking about what we would call a non-penetrative captive bolt, which is something that slaughterhouses like to use, or the USDA likes slaughterhouses to use, which is to say it's a bolt that hits against the head and knocks the animal out, but without being penetrating through the skull. And the reason to say it's non-penetrative is because Ramosha says that there are no cracks and there are no the skull's not crushed or cracked or sliced and it wouldn't make the animal trefa. And for a penetrative bolt would have done all of those things. So the impression is that it's a non-penetrative bolt, which is, again, it's something that somebody would want to do, the USDA might want to do in order to, get the animal to be non-sensitive anymore. That would be logical, as opposed to paying over the head is not a very common thing. And it appears to be non-penetrative. It so happens in the years since then, this was in the 50s, in the years since then, in more recent years, nobody would use a penetrative bolt because of problems of mad cow disease. They wouldn't want brain material to get out and be potential problems of mad cow disease. But anyhow, so Ramosha has this child, which we're going to say he's talking about a non-penetrative captive bolt. I mean, he doesn't say that. He says it's just hitting on the head, but the point is the same. So the question that he talks about is, is this a child of mavliyat dam beivarim? Does it cause blood to be absorbed into the eivarim? What does that mean? The Gemara has a shayla about an animal whose mafrekas is broken, the neck bone, which is the spinal cord, was broken after shechita. Would it stop blood from flowing out the way it's supposed to? Why do we care? Why do we care if blood flows out or doesn't flow out? The reason is because the din is that dam is in the meat and it stays where it was while the animal was alive, you're allowed to eat it. So the din is you're allowed to eat raw meat. If you take you shech the animal and you take a bite out of the raw meat, you don't, even without kashering it, you're allowed to eat that meat because the blood is there and the blood never moved. The only issue to eat blood is blood that was purish, blood that moved from the place where it was when the animal died to someplace else. That dam is also, and that's the dam that has to come out during melicha. So the question is, maybe if we shech the animal, certain blood rushes out, drains out of the animal. And if some of that blood would start to drain out, but it would be held back, it wouldn't drain out the way it was supposed to because you broke the mafrekas, because you broke the spinal cord, and stopped it, then blood would have moved from point A to point B, but not drained out completely. And therefore, it's a shayla mavliyat dam beivarim. You may have blood that had moved, we're missing the word here, blood that had moved, which was absorbed into the flesh, and it's a shayla that maybe that's mavliyat dam beivarim, and you're not allowed to eat that meat. Okay, so the Gemara is specific about this. The Gemara doesn't give an answer to that, so Shulchan Aruch says we have to evaporate. It's a shayla here, but we can do it or not. It's a teiku, and therefore we need to be machmer. But now this we are machmer about that din that if you shred mafrekas, there's a shayla of mavliya d'amefa. But there are two issues about this. The two further details that the Blessing speak about within this shayla about what the Gemara said. The Gemara leaves it as a suffix, and we're machmer. The first is, what did the Gemara mean when it said that? Does the Gemara mean it's just what I said? You can't eat it raw because blood has moved from point A to point B, so you can't eat it because it's now dam that's been purish, and dam that was purish by makom lamakom, so you're not allowed to eat it. That's one way of looking at it. Or does the Gemara mean is that that's a first possibility, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch holds that the only shayla is if you want to eat the meat raw, but were you to do malicha to the meat, then you're fine. You can eat the meat. Because the malicha would get the dam out also. Malicha gets out. That's what malicha does. It gets a dam that was pierced by makom l'makom. So if you do malicha, you're okay. You're allowed to eat that meat. So all the Gemara means to say is if the mafrekas was broken after shechita, then you have all the Gemara means is that you have to be concerned that the blood will be moved and you can't eat it raw. But if you do malicha, it's for sure it's not a problem. The Ramah is machmir, that's how most Rishonim learn, that's how the Machar passes. The Ramah is machmir and says that no, it's also, even with malicha, it's also also. Okay, we'll talk about this more in a second. So the first thing is a question is it also with malicha? And the Ramah is machmir that even if you do malicha, it's also. The second, of course, that's very relevant to us, because if Mavliya Dam Bevarim is only also to the Malicha, then of course you can just eat it. We don't care. We don't eat, we don't ever eat meat raw. We eat if the Malicha, so then this whole thing wouldn't be relevant to us. Okay, second is, the Gemara talks about a very specific case. You were sharing Marfakasash, but anyway, you broke its Marfakas, which is to say, you broke the spinal cord, and therefore it has a specific effect on the animal. What happens if you did something else to cause the animal to die? Like in the case of Moshe is speaking about, you hit the animal on the head, you shot a bolt at its head, you did something else that makes it die faster. What about that case? So the Harbis is nothing about that case. Does this then apply to other cases? The Rama says the same issue would be if you stamped into the animal's heart after Shechita, that would also cause a question about the Dam Bevarim, and therefore you can't eat it, as we said, even with Malicha according to the Rama. Now, before we proceed on to what Ramosh has to say about this, we need to pause for a second and remember the following. I said at the very beginning that when an animal is dead, then none of these kind of shaylos apply. None of the shaylos that we have to talk about apply when animals are dead. So when he speaks about, we're going to talk about what he says about this hitting the animal on the head, he makes the point very clear. He says it many times that we're talking about things that will be kruve misa, will cause the animal to die more quickly. But were the animal to be dead, there wouldn't be a problem. And there's also mukhachafet on the Gemara and the Shach, that if there's no shayla mavliya dam bevarim once the animal is completely dead. The shayla is just until the animal dies. So that is to say is that when the shayla is from Moshe was, is that can you hit the animal over the head 30 seconds after Shechita? But the 30 seconds is not a significant number over here. It's not that if the 30 seconds something happens, there are those who say over Moshe, and the animal dies after 30 seconds. That's not what it says in the tshuva. If the answer was that if for 30 seconds the animal's dead, that would be the end of the tshuva. Can you hit the animal with after 30 seconds? Yes, the animal's dead. You do whatever you want once the animal's dead. But that's not what the tshuva is at all. The tshuva is, after 30 seconds with the assumption that the animal's still alive, can I do it? And 30 seconds just happens to be. It could have been after 5 seconds also. There just happened to be the question about 30 seconds. And therefore, we shouldn't see from here that if the 30 seconds is something special, that the animal's dead at that point. Now, it so happens that Dr. Temple Grandin has done studies to check on animals that are had Shechita in different kind of boxes, and she shows that usually after 30 seconds, the animal actually is dead. Depending, she has all kinds of details of a factor that caused it to die faster or slower, depending on the box and all kinds of details. But again, that's not what Ramosha says. Ramosha does not say that after 30 seconds, the animal's dead. Okay, so what does she say? Ramosha says basically, he says this, just about every single person who speaks about this din about Mavliya Dam Bevarim would be nakal and say that you could shoot the animal in the head, you could use this captive bolt, this non-penetrative captive bolt, he says you could use it after Shechita. Okay? And he has many, many reasons for why you're allowed to do it. I'm going to quickly go through them, but we're going to focus on one of them. Okay? So he says, first he says, as I mentioned, the Mechaber hold, that it's not a problem it's not a problem if you're going to do Malicha afterwards. Okay, so that's many Shitas. Okay, well, that's not the Ramah, that's the Machabah like that. He says, the Taz says, when the Ramah said, I mentioned the Ramah argues and says, no, you're not allowed to do it even with Malicha. The Taz says, those words of the Ramah actually don't belong in this din. Those words of the Ramah belong in the next din. And when all the Ramah means to say, the later words in the same Ramah that he keeps in, means is, L'chatchila, you shouldn't be, break the Mafrekes, because of a chashash, that if people see that, they might end up eating the meat raw. Really, the Rambam agrees you'll have to eat if you do Malicha. But it's a chashash, maybe you'll end up eating the meat raw. So Ramosh says, that's only lechatchila if you're in a place where people eat meat raw, so there's something to think about. He says, nobody nowadays eats meat raw. So it's no problem. According to the Taz, it wouldn't be a problem at all. According to the Taz, when he understands the Rama, even the Rama agrees that if you do Malicha, it's okay. And there's only a chashash in places where you might come to eat raw. That's another thing. He says, the Shach says, it's going to be motivated with chatichu malicha. We can get in a second what that means. Even the Ramah who said that you can't, it's not motivated with malicha, it's motivated with chatichu malicha. We'll talk about that, what that means in a second. Next is that the Taz says I mentioned that the Ramah says that Isser is if you, the problem is if you're sharing mafrekas or if you stab it in the heart. And the Taz says, no, it's only if you sharing mafrekas. And the Shach says, similarly, a different version, he says, is, maybe stabbing the heart is also a problem, but hitting on the head is not a problem. So both of those are saying, hitting on the head is nothing. There's nothing wrong. This whole shiloh of sharing marfrekas is only by the marfrekas. We're talking about hitting it on the head. And then Ramosh says by himself, he says that the din, this whole shiloh is when you did something that would make the animal trayful, would kill it. But hitting it in the head which, as I mentioned, and he goes into the details, he says, doesn't make it a treifa, doesn't kill it, is not a problem, is nothing to do with the shermar for kasa. Because he has these many different reasons why. And he says, now, within all those, you could be machna every one of those. I mean, each one of those things that I mentioned has someone who argues on it. So, that he mentions, has someone that argues on it. So if you put all those chumras together, it would be aser. Rashi says, but you don't have to go that. You don't have to go to such extent to take the chumra sheet of every one of those, start them, and say, therefore, that you should not be allowed to eat. But now I want to focus on the first basic, the first main point that Moshe says, and that is that that the reason why it's the meat is mutter is because the din is because if you do when you break the mafrekas is because if you do it is chaticha malicha, which we do. He says chaticha malicha. What does that mean? What was that chaticha malicha? So it comes from a shach, and the shach compares this din of shared mafrekas to a different Gemara, which is actually the very next din in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and the Gemara says, umtza da'asmik, a piece of meat that got red, meaning it was dam was balua inside of it. The Gemara says chacham lacha, umalcha. If you cut it up and you salt it, and if you look at there namishar dummy, then it's fine. You could cook it. Meaning there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to worry. You can do whatever you want to with it once you do chaticha umulicha. Okay, what is chaticha? Chaticha means cutting it up. What does that mean? Rashi says chaticha now. The question, of course, is what does chaticha mean? You always cut meat up before you salt it. I mean, pretty unusual to salt a whole animal at once. Yes, it could be, but it's not so typical. So Rashi says chaticha means chaticha's harbin. You cut into many cuts. And Ramosha doesn't bring this Rashi, but he implies that's how he's understanding it, because he says like this. This is how Ramosha explains the sheet, how it applies to our cases. Since you cut it into many pieces, before Malicha, the whole katz of choytich oishachatiches ketanas. He cuts those pieces into even smaller pieces. When nimzach aver echachon, you only have one complete cholim aver. That's considered chaticha, and then you do the malicha after all of that. That's considered chaticha malicha, and therefore, even the Ramah who said malicha doesn't help for this, that's only if you do malicha by itself. But if you do chaticha malicha, then it's okay. Okay, now. What he's describing is very much what we see of how you process meat, which is when you in the basement b'chaim, in the slaughterhouse, they cut it to kama chatichas. L'chor he means is what we call into quarters, like a four quarters and a hind quarters, or maybe he means into the primal cuts. Okay, like for example, the primal cuts in the United States, the primal cuts of a four quarter are chuck, rib, brisket, shank, and plate, because those are the primal cuts. Those are when you take the whole four quarters, so either Ramesh means they cut into four quarters, or he means into these primal cuts. You take a full four quarters, and you cut it into the pieces of, you get a chuck, and a rib, a brisket, shank, and a plate. Okay. Then he says, and the whole katz of every butcher, and you cut it into even smaller pieces, when you don't even have one avish on, and that means to talking about the subprimal cuts, or the retail cuts, like for example, the subprimal cuts of a rib are a ribeye roll, a peeled cap, or a rib, short ribs, and a beef trimming. Okay, and then even smaller pieces to make what we call the retail cuts, but actually consumers buy. So if you cut it into all those pieces, the slaughterhouse cuts it into primal cuts or into four quarters, and then the butchers cut it into subprimal cuts or into retail cuts. So that you've now fulfilled the requirement to do chaticha. Now you end malicha. Then we do the malicha after that. Then even Rambam would agree that there's no problem of mavliyah dam yibam, and the reason, of course, is because once you cut into so many pieces, then the dam can come out from a lot of places. The salt attacks it from lots of surfaces, and therefore there's no problem of the fact that dam was balu and moved into certain places and was balu. There's a problem; it's going to drain out and going to be when you do the malicha. Now, this is all talking about, of course, as Ramosha says, and it's obvious, it's talking about the chaticha before the malicha. And in fact, in the United States, when this chul was written in 1958, in the United States, that's exactly how malicha was done. Slaughterhouses shipped out meat in quarters, or primal cuts, very large pieces, before, without malicha. And the butchers couldn't manage malicha on such huge pieces. They didn't have the space to manage to do the malicha on such big pieces. They would cut them to the subprimal cuts. And sometimes they even cut it into the retail cuts and sold meat to consumers without malicha. The consumers did malicha at home by themselves. So the butcher himself did it on the subprimal cuts or on the retail cuts. That information that I'm mentioning comes from, I spoke to people who worked in shechita, who worked in meat in those years, in the 50s and 60s. That's why I said that was common what was done then. Okay, and therefore what Moshe says is, even if you hit the animal on the head and it causes it to be avliyah dam devarim, that's all fine, but it's going to have chatichum licha, and therefore this is his primary reason to say why, his first reason that he comes out with to say why it should be mutter, chatichum licha, that's okay, even the Ramah will be mutter, that's okay. Okay, but that's all, that was true then, but that's not what goes on nowadays anymore. Nowadays, not at all. Nowadays, almost all meat is kashered in the slaughterhouse, where they kasher it, again, in the quarters or in the primal cuts. They cut it in the whole four quarters, or maybe they cut it into primal cuts, okay, but they don't cut it into chatichas katanas. They don't cut it into the subprimal cuts or into the retail cuts before they do malicha. No, by no means. They do malicha, again, in most places, the malicha is happening in very large pieces like that. So in which case, that this whole heter that Moshe gave, this one of his heterim does not apply. It's not one, it's the main heter that he says. First, he said, again, he says, the machabah, maybe you don't need malicha at all. That's okay, the machabah, but we follow the Ramah. He says, and even according to Ramah, you can do chatichum malicha. Then he mentions all the other stadim. So you could question whether this kula that he gave, that he said you're allowed to hit the animal head or shoot it with this bolt, would apply nowadays, when we no longer do chatichum malicha. The meat doesn't have that. So one could really question whether that kula still applies. Again, the other stadim apply, but this one, the chara, does not. So we could question whether this whole kula still applies. Now, our third child we speak about is, what about cutting the mafrekas after shechita? not hitting on the head, now we're going to actually cut in the marfrekas itself. And that is to say, this child came up in the 1990s. There was a slaughterhouse that wanted to do that. They were concerned that they actually sort of for this mavliya dambe varm, but in a backwards way, which is they thought that if they would cut the spinal cord after shechita, that would prevent having bloodshot meat. Okay, bloodshot meat is to say, if cases where there's somehow the blood's does something in the meat that causes the meat to not to look all like it's spotted with blood, and it doesn't sell well. The factory wasn't caring about the kasher. They were opposite. They cared about how it looked. It didn't look like good meat, and therefore they wanted to do. they wanted to cut the spinal cord in order to avoid this bloodshot meat. Okay, and when the shiloh came, Schwartz referenced that in Sridi Asia, before World War II, there was another German law. Which would require the shechit, they were talking about chickens, to cut through, the shechit should go all the way through to the mafrekas, and should cut through the spinal cord. That was the law then. They were trying to either stop shechit, or based on animal rights, to try to stop say the shechit had to go all the way through. And in Sridi Ish, he has a long contrasim about why he wants to think it should be mutter. It's sudden. He explained all kinds of parts of the shaila why it should be mutter, but he also has, he then sent his contracting to all kinds of Gedolei Yisrael at that time, who all wrote him back letters, and he printed all those letters also. So there's quite a lot to see about there, about this question. Zerv Schwartz pointed us in that direction. Anyhow, so it turns out that there are, I'm going to briefly mention, there are four issues to think about for this question. Again, the shadows in Sridi Ish were about birds, which have a lot of stuff that are different than what we are thinking about. The cow that came up in the 90s, which was for meat, have a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences, as we'll see. Okay, the first, the first issue is, is there a second cut? We mentioned beforehand that if a person, at the very beginning of today's year, we mentioned that if you cut the simanim, and you, there's a break in the middle of it, that's a shechiyah. So if the shechit if you cut the spinal cord after the shechita, you run into a shaila of maybe what you're doing, maybe there's a shechiyah over here. Because first you do the shechita, and then you continue, then you stop and you do the rest of the cutting, that's a potential, that's a shechiyah if a yid does it. Here, in the shaila that they were dealing with before World War II, and Chaim Eisner wrote back, and he said, what we should do is, he said, let's try to find shechita who are skilled enough that they can be sure that when they shech, they cut through both simanim 100%. And then, once both simanim are cut, we don't have to worry about shechiyah, so the shechit is over. And then afterwards, somebody else, even the yid, can come and cut the spinal cord. That's something that was at least, he wasn't sure it was possible to find Shechtling who was so capable to do that. But that's at least for a bird. For an animal, it's really hard to believe. You get someone who could be confident every time that he cut through both Simonim. But this Shiloh cutting through twice is not really relevant for us because, as we mentioned back in the beginning of this year, it's okay if a guy does it. So for this factory, that would have been fine. Let the Shiloh do his thing, and then the guy would come up afterwards and cut the rest of the neck, including the spinal cord, so that wouldn't be a Shiloh. Okay, so we've got past one of the questions. Second is, what about the Rishayim HaFrekas? Okay, so the Shechrach brings that there's nothing wrong if during the Shechita you go, the Shechit keeps on cutting, goes right through the Marfekas. There's nothing wrong. But the Ramah said the Minig is V'machmer. A lot of the Achorinim are very questioned. This is not we're not the Mavliya Dami Vorm part, we'll get to that in a second. As if there's something wrong with the Shechita itself. But a lot of the Achorinim ask where this came from, and they bring rise and so many Rishonim think that it's perfectly okay. But at the same time, they all basically end up, but since Ramah said it, so we have to be Machmer. But there's two different ways of how to explain why. What did the Ramah have in mind? What was he concerned about when he said is if he shecht through and cut the mafrekas, that's a problem. The Taz says the reason is because the problem is that if you cut through the mafrekas, then the cutting of the spinal cord contributes to the animal dying, and shechita has to be the only thing that causes the animal to die. It can't be other factors that come into play. And therefore, if you cut the spinal cord, that's also causing the animal to die. So according to the Taz, it wouldn't make a difference whether the Sheikh did it or somebody else did it. The only difference is who cuts the spinal cord. If you're cutting it, that's something else is causing the animal to die besides the Shechita, and that would not be allowed. Right? According to him, that would be the Chumrah of the Ramah to say nothing else is allowed to cause the Shechita. But the Simcha Darshan and Choshuchan, and I think most others understand that it's for a different thing, the Chashash here is of a drasa, which is to say is, that if you cut through to the mafrekas, you made such a cut that went through to mafrekas, makes us be concerned that the shechel must have been pushing down. He was chopping instead of just slicing, because when you just slice, you don't go all the way through to the mafrekas. How did he end up all the way at the mafrekas? It must be that he was cutting, that he was doing the drasa. In which case, if that would be true, then it's only during the shechita process, only if the shechita just keeps on going, like the case of the Shomar, he shechts all the way till he hits Mafrekas, then there's a question about he may have done a drasa. But if it happens afterward, then it'll be no problem. Okay? It's also worth noting that the Shach says that even Amal, this whole Chumrah of the Ramah is only Chatila, but not by Makom Hesem Ruba. And Simcha Chadasha says that the whole thing is a minig, and he says if your place doesn't have such a minig, don't worry about it, it's completely mutter. Right. So, that's our Shevim Afrikas. The third Shaila is Miskat. That is it. The Simcha Chadasha says, many are assuming that the Ramah's Chumrah may come from a Tesefta. The Tesefta says is that if somebody intentionally cuts the Afrikas, the animal is not kosher. Okay, and there, the reason is because if a person intentionally cut the mafrekas, then it's really a concern that he did address it. I mean, if he was trying to get through the mafrekas, he must have been really pressing down. So someone had that in mind, that's a real address. As opposed to if it happened by mistake, it just happened to be cut a little too far, then that's not a problem. So the Simcha Lashon says is that this that I told you, that you could be makel, if you don't have a minig to follow what the Rambam says, if you're in a place without such a minig, is this I told you could make up? That's only true if it happened. That's only true if it happened. But if it was done on purpose, then you cannot be make up. Okay. So that would seem to be our case where it's being done on purpose. You're purposely cutting the spinal cord / mafrekas. But in truth, that's not a problem because, as I mentioned beforehand, these kind of concerns only apply if the shechita itself is intentionally with the plan to cut the mafrekas. But that's not what happens over here. Yeah, the shechita is the shechita, and afterwards someone would cut along and cut the spinal cord. So again, there's no shaila here of the intention to cut is indicative of a dross. Okay, but now we come to our last issue, which seemingly is more serious, and that is what we mentioned beforehand about the captain bolt, which is the shaila mafli the dame varm. By cutting the spinal cord, you're going to cause dam to be absorbed, and the dam is not going to, and it won't come out there with malicha. And now here, if we look at Ramosha's reasons, not only does what I mentioned before, being about chatik, there's no chaticha malicha, but not only that, but a number of the other reasons Ramosha says also don't apply. He said is, the Taz and Chaf say, it's only by very specific, you know, Sharma Frekas, not kidding in the head, but yeah, that's what we're doing, we're Sharma Frekas. Or Ramosha himself said that if it makes it It's only a problem if what you do would make it a treif or a kilah. Well, that's what it is. You're being sheriff of the mafreq. You're cutting this spine. That's what that is. A lot of the kulas that Moshe speaks about do not apply to this case, which would make us think that there is a problem about leidai from Ashkenazim. Those are the four potential shayos. And here, the mafreq damayvaram seems to be the most serious. And Rav Schwartz said that when this shayla came out in the 90s, he reported that when the shayla had come up decades earlier, Rabbi Shlomo Karno, who was the Av Bezin of the CRC at that time, said he would not allow them to do this. He did not let them cut the spinal cord in the slaughterhouse. We don't know the reason why he said that, but presumably it has to do with these four reasons that were mentioned. And he made a rule, and he said, you can only cut the spinal cord if the three more animals are shechted. Okay, what's magical? Well, what he meant is, by the time three more animals are shechted, then the animal is dead. And once the animal is dead, you can do whatever you want to. Then there's no problems. What he had in mind, he said. Okay, so those are our three issues that we wanted to speak about. There's two little things that we're not going to speak about. And that is, one is, there's another procedure called electrical stimulation, which is not after shechita, which has a lot of the same shayos that we spoke about today. That will we talk about that in Mir Tishim sometime in the future. That a different question is shayla of electrical stimulation. That's another thing. And the second is, all of our discussions today were about all these different things, cutting and shooting, that were done after the animal had the shechita. But I can't not mention that there is a shayla that doing something before the shechita also, and that is animals that are not going to have shechita. Animals just plain old non-kosher meat. They stun the animals before shechita. So there's two ways that they do it. One is that they stun them with so much electricity, they put so much electricity through them, that the animal dies. There's something called a head-to-body stunner, that's commonly used, that has two prongs in the front and one prong in the back. The two prongs go on the head, and the one prong goes on the neck, the upper back, and some water comes out of it on the bottom, and electricity passes through. The water helps the conduct electricity, and it passes through and kills the animal. Now that animal is obviously, you can't check that afterwards, it's a nevela. The animal is so dead that the people who later cut the animal's neck don't even wear protective clothing or don't wear anything. There's no blood comes out. Basically no blood comes out. It's like nothing. There's no pirchos, there's no anything. The animal is very dead. And of course the animal's a nevela. There isn't even the beginnings of a question that animal, you're not allowed to do that to an animal that's going to be used for kashrut. What the question that was is what's called himum, which was a stunning of a lesser degree, and that was stunning just to make the animal insensitive, to desensitize the animal, basically to knock it out. And there are many issues raised with that, including is it a mesukenes by you do that, or a nefula, or a drusa, or a gov samayach, or a nefuel, or a nechor bnei meha, a risikivaram, all kinds of different shaylos. It's been very well accepted that you're not allowed to do this before shechita. Chaim Moser wrote about this. They put it in fourth chelik of Achiezer. He wrote a number of things about it, but he basically wrote is, I'm not going to say what the reasons are. You just have to accept that, and all the rabbanim agree with me that you're not allowed to do this before shechita. It was obviously a big to do at that time, and it comes up every so often that you're not allowed to do it. There were those who thought maybe it should be mutter, but Chaim Moser and others all signed on that you're not allowed to do this before shechita. Again, it obviously didn't kill the animal; it's just to make it to knock it out before the shechita, and therefore that is not allowed.